To begin with, Bach always went to the emotional meaning of the text. There's this profound feeling that infuses his setting of the text in all of his sacred music. And then perhaps the most apparent factor is the unity of sound that Bach gets by hanging a series of great big choruses in D major. Now, this is the Mass in B minor, but most of it's in D major, and it's big celebrating choruses with trumpets and drums with this bright key that you hear again and again throughout the piece, nine in all. And that provides a kind of sonic suspension bridge. These are the towers of the suspension bridge, and he can hang just about anything he wants between them, and it sounds wonderful.
So he took years and years to build the bridge, but it has this unity from one end to the other. Let's hear one of these towers on this bridge. This is the Gloria. Tell me about what we're about to hear.
This is a big D major chorus. It sets just the first words of the Gloria. Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest, with Bach's typical sense of joy, which is often expressed in fast-moving notes on vowel sounds like ah. And so it almost sounds like laughter.
Opening of the Gloria from one of the absolute masterpieces of Western classical music, the B minor Mass by Johann Sebastian Bach. Now, Ted, because this piece is at the pinnacle, a huge number and a huge variety of musicians have made attempts at the summit here. How did you pick one recording here?
It was very difficult. There are so many recordings, and musicians put their best into any effort to do Bach. He is that great composer who brings the best out of all musicians. And yet, I really feel that this music comes across best in period instrument performances, where the balance between the vocal forces and the orchestra can be fairly closely based on the kinds of sounds that Bach himself would have expected to hear. But the interpreter who, for me, has come the closest so far is Philippe Herrevega. And perhaps one of the reasons that this recording, his 1996 recording issued in 1998 on Harmonia Mundi, is so successful is that he's been through it once before already with many of the same performers.
Ah, this is his second recording.
His second go at it with a period group, and it's even lighter on its feet and more beautiful and more polished than the first one. He gets those balances just about perfectly, as far as I'm concerned. And one thing about Herrevega that has always stood out is the sense that he brings to the text. He has always been good with voices. And when you hear singers singing for Herrevega, there's always that sense that the meaning behind the text is being expressed. It's being brought out in the performance with great sincerity and with great respect. And that's what I hear in this performance.
Well, you talked about the emotion of Bach as a composer and the way these performers put that across. And this is no academic exercise for Bach. I mean, this is an exercise of devotion and faith from this man through what he saw as his humble God-given talents. And we're going to hear now the emotional core of the piece, the Crucifixus and the Et Resurrexit.
These are two entirely different musical conceptions. It's interesting that such different ideas could be brought together literally side by side in a piece of music. The Crucifixus is the dark center of this work. It's the key moment in Christianity, the crucifixion of Christ. And Bach's setting has a kind of stabbing, painful quality to it, very chromatic and a very, very poignant expressiveness in the music. And then after that, Et Resurrexit, you know, the great moment after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and another beautiful D major chorus, this one the brightest and the most exuberant of all, these two side by side, the absolute essence of Christianity in Bach setting, treated in a way that no one has ever managed to top.